The Pickersgill Detentions by Andrew McGibbon, starring Ian Richardson. Episode 1, A Pickersgill Excursion.
My name is Dr. Henry Pickersgill, and not so long ago I retired as an English master at Haunchurst College, a distinguished public school for boys that has slowly over time blossomed into a multi-faith, state-run comprehensive for boys and girls of any background. One of my unofficial responsibilities was the maintenance of school discipline. All three headmasters that I served under felt that I had distinguished myself in this area. The evidence was clear, as most of the repeat offenders who wound up in one of my detentions learned from their experience and did not return. On one such occasion, three boys, Calman, Hindle Rand, and Smedley, had been sent to me for making fun of the memory of one of our most treasured members of staff, Lefty Rogers, the maths master, who had died on the same day as Winston Churchill. He did have a proclivity for alcohol, and in his later years his capacity for drink knew no boundaries, to the point where some of the boys started to label him the meths master. Without any hesitation, I telephoned the caretaker, Palmer, and asked him to make the school bus available to us so that we could drive the three boys and myself to visit Lefty's grave.
Gentlemen, I brought you out here to give you an opportunity to apologize to the lieutenant in person.
Sir?
Look, Calman, and tell us all what you see.
Well, it's just a mound of earth, sir.
Yes, it is, but beneath it lies the body of a man who had life and spirit.
You mean Lefty, sir?
Sir, we're sorry that we called him names, but he's dead, so it won't bother him.
Smedley, I would like you to consider that although he is no longer with us, that is no reason to assume he is not offended by your remarks.
Is he listening in purgatory, sir?
That is unlikely, as he didn't have his hearing aid in at the time. But I believe he may take offence at some of the things you've said.
Sir?
And I'd like you all to apologise to him individually.
Sorry, Lieutenant Rogers.
Sorry, Lefty.
Sorry, Mr. Rogers, sir.
Whilst the boy's apologies were sincere enough, I felt it necessary to make sure they understood how frustrating being dead could actually be. I moved them over to another part of the graveyard and got them to stand around a freshly opened tomb.
Now, boys, consider this. Into this tomb, another body will be laid. The body of someone who was loved by another, gave comfort to or terrorized another, and regardless of his or her greatness or paucity, is reduced, as we all are, to maggot feed and carbon dust. You must never forget that.
Yes, sir. Can we go back now?
It is frightfully cold, sir.
Lefty may not be able to feel it, but we certainly can.
I was still not convinced that the boys were taking this message seriously. I felt a different course of action was required.
Right. Help me into the tomb.
What, sir? Sir?
You heard me. Help me in. Can you hear me out there?
Yes, sir.
Good. Gentlemen, I'd like the three of you to slide the lid of the tomb back into place, sealing me off.
You want us to bury you alive, sir?
That is the idea.
The youngsters were very confused, but I cajoled them further, and they slid the giant stone over my head.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Yes, sir. Can we go back to the school as we're going to miss supper?
I meant a question about mortality.
No, sir.
Very well. From now on, I won't reply to any of your questions. For all intents and purposes, I am dead. You are on your own. I will speak no more.
Sir, I think we understand death pretty well now. Can we go back to the ground, sir?
With respect, sir, but it's chicken tonight, sir. Sir?
Sir, please can we go back?
Sir!
Oi,
sir!
Oi, yes, Ray! What do you think you're playing at?
Excuse me, but sir's down there and he won't come out.
Have you boys been playing with this tune?
No, we haven't. You have to help us to get sir out. He's inside.
Oh, I'm sorry, boys. But you've got the wrong grave. The body of Lieutenant Rogers is buried behind that oak.
You don't understand. Dr. Pickersgill is in here.
Sir!
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 Be quiet! Sir. Show some respect. I can't hear anything.
But Mr. the Master who escorted us is inside the tomb.
Look,
and he's going...
I've had just about enough of this. You lads have absconded from school.
Look, mister, if you'll only help us to get the cover off the tomb, we can prove to you that he...
Now, that's enough! You're coming with me.
I could not have planned it better myself. By complete chance, I had asked the headmaster for some leave starting that evening. I already had my case in guilt and horror, and then put upon themselves to see the headmaster.
He must have been eaten alive! alive by something.
Somebody even.
Yes, you're just a... Ah, Pickersgill, welcome back. Did you enjoy your leave?
Very much, Headmaster.
The joy on those boys' faces when they saw I was alive was a sight to behold.
These boys were in the middle of telling me something about you entombing yourself, being eaten alive, and how they're sorry for killing you. Carry on, chaps.
Nothing, sir. We thought...
Anything else, boy?
No, sir.
Off you go, then.
I never felt the need to explain any more about my disappearance to them. The gravedigger, Mr. Chadwick, was an added bonus, quite unexpected. I thanked the school, and I think they understood their lesson, the fragility of life. Steel Groins was a bully. His father had been one, and his grandfather before, record shows. He had been sent to me one afternoon for being a little too aggrieved of the new boys during a Haunchhurst initiation, which was being held under water for several minutes in the school leader. I felt it was necessary to give Steel Groins and cool grounds that forms part of a network of local reservoirs. The school parents, in lieu of unpaid fees, boys down to the dock and...
Hey, can you not conduct yourself at all without terrorizing somebody? Take my oar. We are going to the center of the reservoir. Now get rowing.
Presently we arrived at the midpoint.
This evening's detention, which, as I am sure you are now aware, will be taken... I want you all to consider the gravity of your offence. It is a dunking of freshmen. I want to make it clear to you, gentlemen. Yes, consider how it feels to be wounded by water. Our only means of dry return to land is by this boat. Look what happens when one's own sickness is greater than yours. So do you understand? Water is dangerous, not only to first-year freshmen, but to every one of us.
Yes, sir.
They all nodded at me, quiveringly.
Oars, gentlemen.
As the oars dipped into the water, Steel Groins, who had been looking the most awkward of the detainees throughout the whole trip, suddenly jumped up, ripped off his blazer, and dived into the reservoir.
Steel Groins! Enough of this nonsense! You will swim back to the boat right now!
As we drew up alongside him, I noticed that his frenetic movements had ceased. In fact, he was almost motionless. Then he turned round to face us.
Here we are, sir!
Steel Groins threw a large trout onto the deck.
It was circling the boat, sir. I didn't like that much, so I went after it.
We all stared at him in amazement. He had effectively bullied a trout.
Maybe we could eat it, sir.
Steel Groins, I'm afraid one trout is not going to get us very far.
No matter. I'll get a couple more, sir.
And with that, he was off, darting around under the boat, periodically coming up and slapping down a trout or a salmon. Presently, we had five fish, thanks to Steel Groin's supernatural talents at fish catching. We rowed back to the jetty, and I invited the boys up to my rooms for the repast.
What shall we do with the fish, sir?
Well, first they need to be gutted. Now, I have a penknife in my drawer here, which should be...
I'll do that, sir.
Well, that's very kind and thoughtful of you, Steel Groins. In fact, in spite of this evening being about discipline and respect for water and its danger to human life, you have all proved yourselves capable of understanding its power.
Thank you for taking us out there, sir.
And if you must submerge younger boys in the pool, make sure you do it in the deep end. No, boys. Shallow end from now on. How are you getting on, Steel Groins?
Oh, nearly done, sir. Where's your frying pan?
My word, Steel Groins. Are you a cook, too?
Steel Groins went on to cook an exquisite supper, which was marred by one incident.
Well, I think before we tuck in, we should all offer our thanks to Steel Groins for his freakish and remarkable talents as a fisherman.
Perhaps he should be known as the human fisherman, sir.
I'm not sure I follow the logic of that, Calman. Was it meant to be humorous?
No, sir, I don't think so.
All fishermen are human, Calman. Perhaps if you called Steel Groins the human cormorant, you might have raised more of a laugh.
The moment the phrase human cormorant fell out of my mouth, I knew Steel Groins' mood had changed for the worse.
Get off my fish!
Now, Mr. Steel Groins, share and share alike. You have more than made up for your perfidy yesterday with that poor submerged boy, but I will not tolerate any more boorish behaviour, especially in my rooms. Steel Groins, what are you doing?
Don't touch my fish!
He then grabbed the fish off the plate and started stuffing them into his mouth.
They're mine! I caught them!
Very soon an unseemly row developed. The other boys tried in vain to retrieve the trout from Steelgroins, but he wasn't having any of it. Eventually I managed to bring order to the table, but by then any pretense of civility had evaporated.
Steelgroins, how could you hijack such a lovely event as this with your utter selfishness and disregard for your fellow pupils? That is enough, young fellow. Spit the fish out of your mouth and go.
My fish, sir. I'm going to swallow it. Sir, I can't breathe.
Don't you play the fool with me.
In fact, Steelgroins couldn't breathe too well at all. In his eagerness to swallow our fish, he'd forgotten the golden rule with trout. Watch out for little bones.
Indoran, go and get nurse.
Yes, sir.
Before the nurse could arrive, I had the unpleasant task of clearing Steelgroins' throat of fish. The more I spooned fish out of his mouth, the more he complained that he couldn't breathe, and then I realized I'd been holding his head by the nose. And when I released it, he gave a sudden intake of breath, followed by a cough that peppered my wall with fish debris. Steelgroins needed several bouts of surgery to remove the tiny bones from his throat. He was never quite the same after that, and I never again saw the majesty of his excellent fishing. One thing was certain, though. All bullies get their comeuppance. Just as the trout had left a sting in the tail for Steelgroins, so three grudging first formers, angry at their violent treatment during one of his initiations, lay in wait for him upon his return, and rather saw to it that he never bullied anyone again, not even his own children, which they made sure he wouldn't be able to have.
In A Pickersgill Excursion, Dr. Pickersgill was played by Ian Richardson. Steelgroins, the headmaster, and Mr. Chadwick were played by Phil Cornwell. Calman by Martin Hyder, Hindle Rand by Dominic Hawksley, and Smedley by Nick Romero. Studio production was by Jonathan Ruffle. The Pickersgill Detentions was written and directed by Andrew McGibbon and is a Curtains for Radio production for Radio 4.